This is MSO News Sports. We are joined by the new head football coach at Endicott College, Paul McGonigal. And Paul, the good thing about this for you is that you've been here before as an assistant coach 5 years ago and beyond that. So I guess welcome and congratulations on the new position.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a crazy month in the transition, but finally got staff on board, and it's just great to be back. You know, it's great to be back on campus. There's obviously changes happen every year, and, you know, and since I've been back, you can see the new buildings are going up, and the care for this college and for the administration down, just always making, you know, great changes and whatnot.
Yeah, the physical plant, for certainly athletically and beyond, is certainly it doesn't seem to be changing. I noticed construction just driving in here today.
Yes, yeah, there was construction when I left 5 years ago, and there's construction when I was when I'm here now this 5 years later. So it's just such a beautiful campus, and you know, one thing we say to, you know, in the recruiting world is just get them on campus. Yeah. You know, and outside, I mean, the beaches, but even the campus, if there wasn't any beaches, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, Coach, I guess a few things here. I know I want to talk to you about your assistant coaches that were announced just recently. But before that, again, just some memories of your time here at Endicott, and then we'll talk maybe about those 5 years at Assumption as associate head coach and offensive coordinator. So, first of all, I guess what do you remember about Endicott football when you were here 5 years ago?
I was kind of in between. They were on a great run with Coach Wells. You know, Coach Wells was here and a great coaching staff. And I was here for 2 years, being fortunate. And they won the conference, I think, the year before I got here and a little bit after as well. So, you know, hopefully we can get this program, you know, back to where they were before and just, you know, winning conference championship or competing, you know, at the national level. And, you know, they went to the NCAA playoffs. You know, being an Assumption, we were there the last 3 years, so hopefully we can, you know, keep that going. But you know, learning—you always learn no matter where you go. And you know, I learned from the previous staff here, and learning from Coach Tesney over Assumption and the guys. And like I said, with the staff, these guys were from Assumption. And you know, as a coach, you're only as good as your staff, and you're only as good as your players. So I'm excited to have these guys here with me, and they've only been here for pretty much not even a week, and they were already impressed with the facility. You know, it's one thing to tell them over the phone what this place is about, but once they get here and not only see the campus but meet with, you know, President Weiler or Mr. Redman or, you know, the athletic director, Brian Weiler, meet with the administration, meet with the staff down, it just shows how much everybody here is genuine and cares about the school.
Well, maybe since you're talking about the assistant coaches, let's just give me a little overview how you see them. And they all came from Assumption?
They did. So they were with me one way or the other over the 5 years. Rob Mady, who will be the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, he was with us for 2015 and 16. But outside of that, before that, you know, Rob was a quarterback at John Hopkins, and he's from Orlando, Florida. But John Hopkins is one of the top Division III programs in the country, and he was a quarterback there. So he's used to, you know, you want to bring guys that are used to not only playing but from, you know, winning programs. And then this past year, he left. He got the opportunity to become the offensive coordinator at Oberlin out in Ohio. So we got that experience. And but I was fortunate enough that, you know, for him to want to, you know, get back together with him and him to come back here. Joe Hook was our offensive line coach, not only with me, but was with Coach Mady. So they know each other from sharing an office together, you know, because as a coach, you spend a lot of time around, you know, spend a lot of time together. So they get to, you know, not only they're used to being around, actually they all live together as younger coaches. Joe's from Western Mass, one of the areas to be recruiting. He was an all-conference lineman up at Maine, played at UMaine. I think he was a second-team All-American, but he was taught real well from the coaches up there. So I'm excited to have him and see what he can do with the, you know, the offensive line group. Jack Dustin, actually, and Sean Golden. I'll start with Sean. Sean, our defensive coordinator. Sean, actually, I recruited Sean. Sean played for me when I was over at Fitchburg State years ago. So I've known Sean since really 17 years old. Obviously left there, was here. He went on to be a coach at WPI. And then when I was at Assumption, we had an opening after our third year, and I recommended Sean, and Sean came in. And, you know, all you can do is recommend him, but he came in, interviewed, and Coach Chesney really liked what he had to offer and hired him there. And he's with us the last 2 years. And then Jack Dustin played. I coached Jack at Assumption. He was one of the offensive linemen. Local from Foxborough, went to Zavarian High School, obviously a great high school program. I learned a lot of great things there from Coach Stevenson. And then now he's was there, went down to Coastal Carolina, and then he also do an outside coaching. He's a certified leader of strength and conditioning, which is a core of the of any athletic program.
And your influences, so I imagine your offensive coordinator that you have hired will have a similar kind of perspective view as for an offense as you have, depending on the personnel that you have, obviously. So I guess tell me a little bit about some of your influences offensively as far as being an offensive coordinator as you were at Assumption.
I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, I played at the University of Kentucky, and I played for Bill Curry, who was John Unitas' center, and, you know, played on Vince Lombardi. And after 2 years, they made a coaching change, and they went to a coach by the name of Hal Mumme and Mike Leach, who's at Washington State now, was the offense coordinator, and Tony Franklin to more of a different style of offense. We're probably a little bit more like that, but not to really talk offense first, but you just get two different coaching styles. So you learn as a player, like, if, you know, this style versus this style. But then I was actually very fortunate. I worked at Northeastern under Barry Gallup, who's been around for a long time. And, you know, if you're in coach, you know, around here, you know Coach Gallup. And he took me under his wing his first year and showed me the ropes as a young coach. And not only from X's and O's wise, but just from the grunt work and working long hours and, you know, the expectations and whatnot. And then I think the biggest thing is I went down to Eastern Kentucky University, which is, I think, the all-time winningest 1AA program in the country, and coach kids in the Hall of Fame with 317 career victories. And just sitting in those staff rooms, even as a GA my first year to an assistant coach the next year, learning from them. And even though they were a different offense, they really weren't a different offense, they looked different. So it was like an I formation team, but a lot of the foundations, what we do is built off of that. So but yeah, offensively, we're gonna attack, and I tell people it's whatever takes offense. If we gotta run the ball 40 times to win, we'll do it. If we gotta throw the ball 40 times, we're not constricted or handcuffed to one style or the other. But at the same time, we want to do on both sides of the ball what our guys are capable of doing. We're not coming in here as a staff saying this is how we do it. We're gonna come in and say this is what we like to do, but we can make adjustments based off of our personnel.
Yeah. What was your take on the offenses of that national championship game on Monday night?
You know what? It was a great game to watch. Even the game before at the Rose Bowl. Yeah. I mean, there were some very good football players out there. And you know, years ago, having played in the conference, I was, you know, not familiar with those players, but I know the level of competition. But at the same time, it's funny, you know, you talk to friends, and I was in the back of the room. I'll watch the game differently just from a schematic, X and O's wise, strategic, you know, why are they doing this? Should they be, you know, what's the thought process here? Should they call timeout, not call timeout? Versus just, you know, you go from, you know, Coach Saban pulling the quarterback and, you know, it was a good idea, not a good idea. And, you know, obviously it worked out, so it was a genius idea. If it didn't work out, it would have been a good idea. But you know what? At the end of the day, when I think with all the hype comes these games, they're good games. You know, you hate to see those, you know, Bills, Cowboys, Super Bowls. You wait around for this 56-17 or whatever the scores were. So yeah. I've always been, you know, anytime there's a big game, unless there's a team you have in, I always just hope they're, even last year's Clemson, Alabama game, they come down to the wire. Yeah. And it came down to the wire, even overtime. You know, so great games to watch. But yeah, it's obviously good for the sport.
I wanted to ask you, I know you played, you said you just played at Kentucky, and I wanted to, as a player, you know, as a coach, I mean, it's all the same stuff, no matter what level you're at, I imagine, for the most part, but yet still the size is so much different from Kentucky to Endicott's Division III or whatever. And I guess some take on that and what all that, you know, put that into your context for me.
I think the biggest thing is there's definitely size, but speed. Speed's the biggest thing, is the difference. And but at the same time, you know, it's also Division I level is a big business. And, you know, I've always said, as much as I loved it down there, and my best friends and my roommates, and I'm, you know, we get together every couple of years. I'm going to see them down in February with my family. But at the same time, you know, the Division II, Division III, small college New England football, there's something about it. Maybe it's an extension of that Thanksgiving game where everybody, you know, either knows each other. You got great crowds here. You know, it's a good environment. It's pure. It's pure. You know, you don't have a lot of guys getting on the bus afterwards and trying to figure out how many catches I have. I'm trying to get drafted. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I think every level has its pros. Every level has its cons. But I've been in Division II, III for the last X amount of years, and I love it. You know, it's just more, you get more of a love for the game from some of these young men versus a business part of it.
Yeah. Absolutely, and when I was thinking size, I was thinking kind of facilities and the whole, you know what I'm saying. But yeah, you took it a better place, to be quite honest with you. I just the whole landscape of a Division I football is the humongous stadium and all the other facilities for the most part.
Yeah, some of it's getting out of control. Like, I don't know what a barbershop has to do with playing football, but it's all competition.
Yeah.
And if Alabama has a barbershop in their locker room, then Oregon's going to put two barbershops in the locker room because these 17, 18-year-old young men, you know, come in, and that's what they look at a lot of times. And stadiums are great. But I think after you get used to it, it's kind of like a blur. You know, I couldn't tell the difference between 70,000 and 90,000. Maybe certain times in a game. But I think I go back to some of the games I've been involved in at the Division III level and II level, and those are my favorite environments, yeah. Whether it's 5,000 people or 2,500 people or 8,000 people. If you get a nice late fall day, there's nothing like that. It's more, you know, everybody knows, they know your friends are there, they know your family there and whatnot. But, yeah, it's obviously different. I'd say one of the biggest differences is travel. You know, you're on a charter flights.
Yeah.
You're going right to the hotel with the police escorts. You know, you're in a town versus, you know, sometimes, a couple-hour bus ride. But a lot of times I'll tell young men in recruiting is, you know, some of the schools are going to have a six-hour bus ride on a Friday, play a game on Saturday, come back 6 hours. Where here at some of the smaller colleges in New England, you could be at a game in, you know, an hour and come back in an hour. And more family can attend game. You know, my parents can come to a lot of games, maybe one a year sometimes. Two based off of flights, and when I obviously years ago there wasn't these, you know, these restaurants with 27 TVs and all these channels.
Yeah.
My family used to have to go to a restaurant in Somerville to get, you know, the Kentucky game on. The people looked like they were crazy because, like, why would you want to watch, you know, the Kentucky game? Like, I remember last year I took my daughter's one of those, like, Kings Bowling, and the Michigan Ohio State game was on like 8 TVs, and the Kentucky Louisville game was on the right hand side. And I was kind of asked the lady, I was like, do you mind putting it to this TV? And, you know, the people are like, wait, why is this game on over here? But it's just me, that's the big game for Kentucky and VS. That's the one I really care about.
So, did you win that battle with that TV?
I did, and they won too, which was good. So, that made my year. That's the only game I really concern any sport. The Kentucky Louisville thing's a big rival. But other than that, I don't really watch games from time to time, but obviously focused on my job here in the fall, which is the most important.
Well, there you go. You're coming in with that winning attitude here. You're able to change that TV set at that, yes, at that restaurant, and from there, who knows what can happen. Coach, maybe just a couple follow-up questions, possibly just your offensive influences. In other words, we talked a little bit about how, you know, what your game plan is to, you know, obviously assess the talent at Endicott when you get down on the field and talk to the players and so on. But who have been your influences offensively?
I would say basically, you know, you first you start with your position coaches that you had. Guy Morris was one of my position coaches. He actually played for the Patriots, played, I think, 14, 15 years in the NFL. And, you know, but first when he walks in a room, he's got that instant, you know, credibility. But at the same time, it's just the way his coaching style was. He was one of those coaches where he didn't raise his voice a lot, but if you did something wrong, you felt like you let him down. Obviously, like I said, Coach Kidd and Leon Hart, and who was the offensive coordinator in Eastern Kentucky, you know, both since retired, were big influences on me. But I think everywhere you go, you're going to pick up something. Even, you know, Coach Chesney, you know, working with him for 5 years has an influence on you because I'd be crazy if I didn't take stuff that I learned from him here, because he has a proven track record, winning at everywhere he's been, and now going to Holy Cross, and he's going to do a great job there. And a few coaches went with him from Assumption that are great coaches. I think anywhere you're always looking professional development. But, you know, some of my biggest coaches, honestly, is, you know, one was my father. He was my Little League coach.
Yeah.
And I felt like in Little League, him and a couple of coaches I was with, I still know the names, Coach Richards and Coach Moore. I mean, I always felt like we were one step ahead of the curve, and not because we were good players, but because of the way they taught it. And I think I always go back to that. They taught us more the fundamentals of the sport, not just, okay, go make, you know, go hit a home run. And I think any time around that, you know, coaching is teaching, and it's all how it translates to me. And it's you're a teacher, And it's just how the, you know, if your players are doing the right thing, and then they're obviously, you're teaching them is translating well. Because at the end of the day, like you talk about offenses, everybody runs similar stuff. Yeah. You know, it's just how you put your players in the best position to be successful.
Okay. We're talking with the new Endicott coach, Paul McGonigal, and formerly of Assumption and formerly of Endicott College as well, as a matter of fact. Paul, maybe as a final note or question to you would be, you're new here at Endicott as the head coach, so any observations or comments that you want to send out to folks here as far as the Endicott football program is concerned?
Hopefully, you know, we're all excited to be here. You know, a lot of times, you know, even one of my daughters is like, wait, Dad, why are we changing jobs or coming down to Division III? Which is funny that they recognize that, but at the same time, you know, I wasn't planning on leaving Assumption, but if there was a place I was going to leave for, this was the place. So hopefully what people understand is why would you leave a top 10 team in the country to come here? And hope that's a sign of what I think about this program, what I think about the administration, what I think about the staff, what I think about this campus, what I think about this area. So hopefully we can, you know, we want to take care of our home base. You know, hopefully we get, you know, more and more guys here to want to come play, and they're going to come compete, and hopefully we can represent Endicott College and the athletic program, you know, both on and off the field.
Yeah. And I think, too, professionally, that, you know, being an assistant with a successful program, I mean, we're seeing it with the Patriots at another level here. But yet, at your level, at the D2 level with Assumption, is that at some point, though, head coaching experience, not a bad thing to put on a resume, you know, wherever it is.
Sure. No, it's got its pros, it's got its cons. Yeah. You know, usually when you're in offense, you just focus on those 50 guys. Now you got to worry about those 100, 120 guys. But at the same time, that goes to your staff. And if you get guys you trust, and I couldn't be more excited to, you know, a lot of times you go to different places, and depending on certain situations, you may get a couple guys here and there. But these guys are guys I've been with. They know what to expect out of me. I know what to expect out of them. They're great coaches. People will see that, and like you're saying, is, you know, and hopefully someday I'm not here to hold them back. I hope they become a head coach or a coordinator or whatnot. But at the same time, show the continuity of why we get to stay together shows that we're a good cohesive group, and it starts with us.
Right. Well, Coach, great talking with you. Best of luck.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah. Paul McGonigal, the new head football coach at Endicott College. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO News Sports.